The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Take the Stock. It's the 20th. It's a Friday, end of the week, October. The markets are dreadful, but we're on good form. John's on good form. He's in his puffer jacket. He's looking slick. I just said to John, then last week, he said, yes, thank goodness. He's been away Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh. It's miserable. It's miserable. The weather's miserable. The markets are miserable. I'll try not to inflict my misery on anyone today.
Yeah, well, I did say that, you know, on the title here. By all means, thank you for joining us. You know, like, subscribe, share, download the Vox Markets app. It's free, but it's priceless. The markets have been bad, but is it about to get worse? Because at the bottom of the market, everyone's a bit bearish, you know? But you shouldn't worry about this. This is my thoughts. It could go down further, yes. But unless you're invested in the index, don't worry. The aim all shares stock pickers market. And making money is never going to be easy, but it shouldn't be this hard. But if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And the thing is, you have to avoid the rubbish, right? There's a lot of rubbish on AIM. And to make it worse, you get people on Twitter ramping rubbish just to turn a quick buck. And so ignore them. You have to do your own research. Assess whether a company can provide you with a good return on your capital for, you know, a desired risk. That means looking at growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, potential. But the good news is, John, I think this, right? There's quite a lot of good opportunities on AIM. A lot of them get tarnished with the brush that is the bad companies. But if the market continues to go down, the upside only increases in these good companies. But if you want to make money, you've got to do your own research. You know, you've got to put a bit of hard work in. Treat yourself like a fund manager. It's your funds. Manage your funds. Do lots of research. Be professional. Only the top professionals in sport get paid lots of money. So the more work you put in, the more research you do, I believe, you know, the better it'll be. I do think, you know, it is a tough market. But like I said, valuations on companies are going down. And that means, you know, the potential is going up. But yeah, it is tough. It is tough, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I had a small exchange on Twitter yesterday. X, should I call it? You know, suggesting that although forecast PEs are actually falling, that perhaps reflects fears about the earnings outlook. I think, you know, in a couple of cases, we've seen that those fears are founded. So, you know, I do think more broadly, though, that the market, you know, there are lots of companies looking cheap and, you know, not necessarily, you know, even down in sort of the depths of AIM, but you know, even moving up the market scale. I was chatting to Jamie Constable from Singer, who we regularly speak to and I'll be speaking to next week, recording with. But 20% of the FTSE All Share on PEs, single digit PEs at the moment. What an extraordinary figure.
Yeah. And do you know what? I know it's awful with the news out there. It seems geopolitical risk and all this worry and you know, financial risk, high interest rates, the cost of capital is up. But we've got to look at it longer term a little bit. And like I said, if you scroll back, you know, to when we've been like this previously, the markets have gone to new highs. And I did actually post something out on Twitter earlier from the share pickers account saying, look at the RSI on AIM. It's massively, you know, it's oversold. It's been oversold. In fact, let's go to the AIM. It's down again today. No surprise. Look at that. It's down again today. And we're now down 48%, 774 days since the high. And if I put the old RSI on, you can see there. Now, you know, with 15, 16 days now, we've been oversold. Nothing compared to going back, like, in fact, this is now, we're now beating the COVID dash for cash crash oversold, because that was quite quick. But if you go back and just look at these, the big times were literally the great financial crash. And these took, what, 40, 50 days down in there. And dot-com was worrying as well. But like I said, the market made news highs after that. So when everyone thinks we're going to hell in a handcart, it doesn't. It never happens.
You can look at a long run history of stock markets going back, you know, into the late 19th century, and you know they perform over time through thick or thin. Yeah. But you know you've got to stay solvent in the times when it does.
It does
go through painful patches.
I keep saying that patience has been my downfall of getting out of stocks before they've rallied, or getting into stocks too much too quickly. So you know, be patient. We're not talking like days, talking months maybe before the market recovers. But that's why I say always do fundamental research. And then if the chart isn't stacking up, put alerts on it, and you'll be surprised how long a share price stays depressed for before it comes back up and hits that alert. It can be months, and they say, okay, now it's back in that trend or something, but now the fundamentals are okay, the chart is looking good, but then the exposure level is, don't go too much on anything, so
this bear market has been a long one, you know. And there aren't really any sort of clear signs of a catalyst to reverse that. But, you know, you mentioned highs, and I kind of think, you know, we've been in a big, long, cheap money party for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bigger the highs, the greater the crash. You know, the bigger the party, the bigger the hangover.
Exactly.
And I think that's what we're suffering at the moment. And it's going to take time for the hangover to wear off. There's no hair in a dog this time.
Yeah, well, no, there's no quick solution, is there? Bailing out the central banks, bailing out failing banks like the Great Financial Crash, you know, as soon as that happened, it was fine. In fact, of course, we saw vaccine day, as soon as the vaccine came along, it's long and painful. But again, we have to look in the positive, because we always look at the negative. We may as well just, stop here. But it's a good time to research, you know.
Buying companies,
that is a good valued company. I'm going to watch that for a while and maybe start investing in it. And also, you've got that time you got to let them release more news to the market, you know, interims, trading updates, financial results. That gives you, you know, greater insight to the company and how they're doing, and give you outlooks and all that stuff. And it may be tough for a while for a lot of companies because that interest rate isn't coming down for a while. So if they've got debt and stuff.
When it does come down, the question then is, how far is it going to come down? You know, are we ever going to go back to those, you know, ZERP days, where interest rates, you know, hovered close to zero, you know, and in some countries went negative. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
No, but there are companies out there who are not struggling, you know. They don't have lots of debt. And they are insulated from the consumer or the people suffering. Their end customers not suffering. I mean, you've got to find those, and you get sort of almost like medical tech people, all that kind of thing. Or you know, if you go, for example, I look at ramping a stock here, but if you look at, you know, pre-revenue companies, they're of course higher risk. But if you look at sort of Destiny Pharma or dealing with antimicrobial resistance. That's a huge issue that's going to be around with us for a long time beyond this, you know, this high interest rate environment. And the World Health Organization is one of the top 10 biggest risks to humanity, you know. So it's a big problem that they look to solve. And so it's almost like look at the big problems that are going to last for years and who's solving them and that kind of thing. And look, of course, you want to look at growth, value, health and efficiency of your company there. Anyway, here's the markets. Everything's down. Good news is, yes, the AIM All Share is down, but it's not the worst. Far from it. Look at that. It's 10 times better than the FTSE All Share. Down 0.08% and 10 times better than the FTSE 100. What's the fallers in the FTSE 100?
That's where you want to look.
Look, Intercontinental
Hotels. We're trading news today.
You got Anglo American, Marks & Spencer, Ocado, John's favourite FTSE 100. It's in there. I had a nice comment actually from Chris yesterday. By all means, comment, please, if you haven't commented. And of course, it moves the show along nicely. Chris said, thanks again, guys. This is a nice Friday message. Been investing for 2 years. Now, already when Chris said that, 2 years. I mean, that's the hardest 2 years. That's the biggest, steepest learning curve you'll ever have. Last 2 years, the markets have been going down. You know,
yeah, so. It's a good time to learn the ropes. It really is.
Well,
there is one thing you then have to be careful of. I started in the city, in the wake of the dot-com boom, just as everything was deflating. And I think it sort of left a bit of a scar, you know, that period. I think I have an inherent caution
There's an author I interviewed years ago. He's on Twitter and he does the psychology of money and all that stuff. And he says the first biggest scar or injury you have in the markets tends to leave it. Well, the first injury you have tends to leave a scar, a psychological scar. So you find people sometimes start doing trading and they'll never get to investing because they've been hit so many times and they're scared to leave their money into a stock because they've been hit in one stock. And I think the best returns are longer term in multiples over years. And so, it's hard to make a living trading, but they're never, because they're scarred by that, you know, it's distorted view of the markets.
I guess, from my perspective, that's why I sort of gravitate towards you know, more established companies, you know, companies with a trading history where there are, you know, profits and revenues. And you know, maybe I miss out because of that. I guess, you know, the point there is that you can take that back and, you know, psychology is so important in investing and trading that you should always spend a bit more time, you know, understanding yourself when you're trying to invest.
Yeah. But trouble is, you know, you say you may miss out on that. I mean, I do get some, you know, I literally have my big stocks covered. I find them very boring, but I understand that you need them. And so these are, you know, proper businesses generating cash, paying dividends. They're in a fund. And so I don't have to really look at that. That's my biggest holding. You know, I'm my second biggest holding because cash is my biggest holding. But then I want the sexiness, the growth stocks, the can-do multiples. But sometimes you get it wrong. You know, like I said, that predictable 5% a year that you get, you know, on a sexy stock, you can go under by, you know, by, you can go down by 50%. So anyway, it's about Chris. Chris says, thanks, guys, again. Been invested for 2 years, and all questions I had posed in those I knew were answered by everyone answering by saying, do your own research. Great advice. Yeah, great advice, but meaningless unless you know how to. Then I stumbled into the Cashmere podcast. Oh, I say, it's a new title. And Daily Watch, you go through how to do research. Need to cotton on to how useful this is and put together a lexicon pod. Oh, if this pod was a chart, even John would be ramping it. There we are. So thanks. No, Chris, I appreciate it. Any questions like that on researching? Because there's many different ways to research. Like, you know, I like it almost to a football team. You know, there's many different techniques or training techniques to get to this end goal, you know. But so we can both give our advice on what we do. Like I said the other day, first thing I look at, I did say this when you were away, John, what's the first thing you look at? And I said to me, it's market cap of a company. When I'm doing research, I've got to know how big the company is. And because if you don't know the value of the company, then go into enterprise value. But if you don't know the value is, and you don't know the potential value generation, how do you know you're going to get a return? You know, so that's the first thing I look at when looking at stocks. Anyway, let's get into it. In fact, I just want a quick look at charts of gold, copper, and oil. Because
let me guess, gold rising, copper falling, oil rising.
You're spot on there. And of course, is copper. And you know, like I said, this is from 2023. Got a wedge there, a series of lower highs, but it is bouncing off its level. In fact, it's right there now. So it could take it down a bit further. We know China's trying to stimulate. They did post some figures recently, GDP saying it's going okay. But there's that underlying, isn't it, a problem of property there, which, you know, is imploding for years.
Yeah, bit so of news copper. This week, but it's Country Garden looking wobbly.
Yeah, I mean, that's in a downtrend pretty much, hitting this support level here. That's copper, so we can see what's happening there. If you've got a gold, of course, times of worry. Now, look at that. It's had a series of highs. It hit this sort of 2056 there, a couple of lower highs there, and then all of a sudden it broke out to that lower high. But now it's trying to break this previous level 2000. So that's a magic number.
Yes.
You can see it's rallied very strongly the last, you know, few weeks.
Well, yeah, I mean, for very, very obvious reasons.
Yeah, look at this, though. Get it away. This is central banks accumulated gold at the fastest pace on record in the first 2 months of this year. And so the biggest.
Which central banks?
Singapore was the one. Singapore, Turkey, China, Russia, India. They're the guys they're doing.
Not the US, not Western central banks.
Yeah, no, exactly. And let's look at oil quickly, because, of course, there's the tensions. I think more than tensions, it's very awful. The Middle East. And you can see here, it get down to like about $71. And is it the line there? You can see, you know, double bottom there, or in fact, a triple bottom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a bit of resistance here, broke up. It did get up to that level recently. It's come back, but now it's threatening to get above those 95. Well, it's 93.
Yeah. This
now.
Is just it's geopolitics. So,
yeah,
you know, gold and oil. It's a geopolitics play there.
Yeah,
and obviously copper is more reflective of this kind of fundamentals we're experiencing. You know, economically, you know, things we're seeing. You know, showing up in trading updates from Rentokil or, you know, Intercontinental Hotels that actually there is weakness in the global economy, and that's what copper's telling us.
A couple of comments here. Riffisothoths said, should I sell my Rex shares and put it into XP Factory? In case you say you can't give financial advice, go on.
Relics?
Relics, what does Relics do?
It's academic data. You know, it's a big data publisher of academic journals, research papers, that sort of stuff. A fantastic company. This defies you know, your sort of views about large companies. This has had a 670% total return over the last 20 years. I mean, it's an absolutely extraordinary company.
Yeah, no, actually, no, I don't. I'm not slamming all big companies. I'm saying I'm just looking at the stats, and I can't do research on over 2,000 companies in a year. You know, so I do is I limit it to the era where I know generally the best performers happen, and that's sub 100 million market cap, and in fact sub 50 million. They're more risky, but that's why I have to do more research essentially. But look at that. I would say that's looking like I would never sell out of an uptrend.
I wouldn't sell that. I mean, there was one, you know, I've looked at RELX over the years, so slapping the table again. It's dominant in its market.
Yeah.
And there was one issue, which was, it basically sort of controls access to academic papers. And there is a bit of an issue about whether that should be open source.
54 billion, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that their market cap?
Arguably, this is Britain's best technology company.
Wow. Never ever sell out of an uptrend. What you can do, never limit your upside. And what you can do, you can say, listen, you can see a series of higher highs here, and if it literally falls below, maybe, you know, put a stop loss in if it's going to fall off a cliff, maybe at 27. But if you're in it and you're in for a long term, or even put it a bit lower if you're sitting on a nice profit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't limit to your upside. I wouldn't sell now. Sell if it maybe breaks a support level, maybe, you know, 27, 26 quid. But I wouldn't,
I mean, if you want to deploy some capital elsewhere, you know, that's never a bad idea. Just lock in some, you know, top slice a bit.
Exactly. And you can put now again with XP Factor, there's a great company. I think it's lumped in with the leisure sector, I've said before. And because of that, it's in this range. And like I said, a range to me, if you've been paid a dividend, sit in a range is fine. But literally, if you're just sitting there in a company that's not paying a dividend, it's a pain. It's going up and down, up and down, up and down. So I would say if it convincingly breaks, literally, you know, 21, 22 pence, even 23, it'd never be too late, really, if it starts a trend, because they're very powerful. I say 22 pence is, you know, it's going to get up there, then that's going to start a new uptrend. And I think it could do very, very well because they've come up with figures. There hasn't been a bum figure ever. All the figures they come up with is very good. So, you know, like John says, you can top slice a little bit and maybe diversify into a micro cap. Like, in fact, you know, what's talking about ranges, just you know, again, Avacta looked like it was putting a breakout. And then look at that. It's come back down into that range there. And in fact, now you've got a sort of a lower high there, which is not very good. So it may have to come back down to the bottom of the range. It's so annoying. And that's what I say about ranges. They can be, you know, so frustrating. So I take John's advice, maybe top slice some and then look at other companies maybe, but I wouldn't take it all out.
Yeah, you would, a strong
trend like RELX.
That's portfolio ballast, the company like RELX.
I mean, you've had some, look at that, go to him back. You've had some, that's on the New York Stock Exchange. You've had some, you know, big sort of dips, but nevertheless, look at the trend on that. And if you go back, I even have to run a weekly chart. Wow, look at that! From 2012, it was like £6 a share, and now it's 28.
Yeah,
quid.
I'd have to go back and have a look at the history, you know, to see why there was suddenly that, you know, massive step change in performance. But you know, as I say, it's sort of morphed into a technology company. You know, it's sort of very much sort of scientific, technical data. You know, it's got a lot of tech behind it.
Arguably,
it used to be a publisher. I think it was Reed S. Elsevier. So you know, but it's made that flip from publishing to really being a sort of tech-enabled publisher of very, very important. Scientific information, technical information.
I didn't ask you, but we had lots of suggestions. When you first research a company, what's the first thing you look at, John? I'll give you a bit of time to think about it. We'll look at the front page.
I'll tell you now. I just want to know what it does.
No, I'll answer that. Exactly.
It seems like a very obvious thing to ask, but and when I say what it does, not just what it does, but, you know, what markets it serves and therefore how does it make its money?
They'd like to know how
it gets paid, basically.
So they're very good. But and then, to me, I suppose sometimes you sort of, if you're looking into a company, first and foremost would be that, I suppose. But after that, I would want to say, what's the size of the company? What's the value of it? And then, you know, why is it undervalued? Why would it generate more value? Yeah. You know, what's the potential there? Essentially, in this order, I've got a spreadsheet that covers all this, basically growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, potential. And that's what I look at in a company. Front page, Harlan Wolf. Are they up to there? I think they are. But they're Haaland's sort of $61 million contract. What's it all about?
We knew about this contract before. It's just confirmation. Yeah. They already signed a letter of intent. It's in the forecast, but it's always good to get these things over the line. It's basically a refit of a FPSO vessel. It's an oil vessel.
Floating
platform, whatever they call them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. And in fact, that is the most, that and Atlantic Lithium, of course. We did say yesterday.
Well, talking about getting things over the line.
Yeah,
there it is.
They released yesterday, most followed as well today. But they did say yesterday, it's a media speculation. And I didn't know what that media speculation was, but I did see on the internet, then on Twitter, on X, some photographs of them with some ministers from Ghanaian government signing something. So it looked like there's, and obviously the markets weren't open in Australia, weren't open in the UK. So I suppose there's that RNS time they can't release, I suppose.
Yeah,
or can they release
tricky.
At night? I don't know. Yeah.
Tricky. What's but anyway, they got it over the line.
What's the latest RNS time? You can release on, because I've seen companies come out with like half five RNS on a Friday. Yeah. Well, I've seen half five on a Friday evening, hoping to get in. I think Haaland and Wolf did that once on their final results on a Friday evening, half five. That's the latest I've seen.
Companies sometimes do that because there is that deadline, isn't there?
All right.
Rule 26, I think it is.
Atlantic Lithium and Mineley's granted for a warrior. What's annoying though? This Haaland and Wolf. I mean, that's a chart there. You've had a series of high lows there. Maybe it's come down, bring it back up, but it's not in an uptrend yet. Maybe this is the bottom. Who knows? This may be the bottom here. This higher low. Same with Atlantic Lithium. Really frustrating on this news. It's not moving higher. It's like I did put a line on there. You see, a couple of times it's trying to break that 26, 25. It has done that, but it went up to 29.
I saw some reports yesterday. You know, the lithium price is proving a drag at the moment. So this production is some years into, or some time into the future. I'm not entirely sure how long it will take, but they're well advanced, but there is some work to do to build the mine and production out. But right now, the lithium price is a bit soft.
In fact, did you see that yesterday? We were talking about Tirupati, down Tirupati.
Oh, the graphite.
Yeah. And you said the graphite market's a bit soggy. Look at what China's done today.
Yeah.
China's curbed graphite exports in critical mineral squeeze because they say.
This is why you're seeing these critical metal strategies from Western governments, from the EU, from the UK. The British Geological Survey put a big report out a little while back. And it's why you're seeing these. Real push to mine domestically, or at least nearshore suppliers of this stuff. So, whether that's in Greenland, Greenrock is big, very high grade graphite resource there. We know that there's other critical metals that are being developed in Scandinavia. Metals One is involved in that. So this is why this China news is why this is imperative. It's why these mines are getting off the ground.
Yeah. It's a funny situation playing out geopolitically in China and America. China seems to have a lot of critical metals there, and they're buying up a lot of critical metals in the rights to them. Where's it also come from? They're selling American, bonds, gilts and all that stuff. So it's it's very odd playing out. Okay, anyway, so Haaland Wolf, this is Upland Resources, down 6%, but... they've given updates on their joint technical study, and they've done sort of highlights proposal for basically that finalized prospecting. So it's a lot of sort of admin stuff, I think, and all that. But it has done very well on the chart, Upland Resources. And you think, okay, how do you catch these rises before they happen? And sometimes with nanocaps, it's a little bit of luck, But you can see there straight away, even going back to January. It didn't break 0.8 pence. When it broke that, you think, okay, all right, what's happening? And literally, it multi-bagged there. Okay. What else is on there? ITM, have we looked at that? I don't know what they're doing there.
Selling one of their divisions.
Motive Fuels. It is down 2.4% on that.
Yeah, so it's released a little bit of cash. Cash is not the issue. ITM better.
No, 28 million they've got there.
But they've only got tons of cash on their balance sheet. Absolutely.
But they need it because they are burning quite a bit, aren't they? If you look at the last sort of, at the moment, in fact, I did talk to a company the only company I know in the green hydrogen space who are talking about profit. I can't think who it was now. They listed recently. We should go back to see who that is.
At their year end, they had 283 million quid on the balance sheet. They had burned through, a fair chunk the year before.
Adjusted loss of 94 million, though.
That's a lot of burn.
Yeah, it is a lot of burn. Yeah. So when you look at loss-making companies, first thing you should look at is how much cash they have, how long is their runway. That's the first thing you should look at. In fact, look at that bit of support level here at this sort of level. Will it stay there?
You've got to be supported. It's got to be supported by its cash, isn't it?
Yeah. What is the market cap then? Let's have a look.
430 million.
Okay, so it's ITM. Do you know what's interesting here today? In fact, most followers is I don't know why that's rising. I've no idea.
I checked. I was having a look at the trades to see if I can spot anything.
QBT, which is Quantum Blockchain Technologies, is Bitcoin up? I mean, let's have a look at that. In fact, there's a comment on Bitcoin. Let's have a look at crypto here. Bitcoin, it is away, in fact. It is trying to break that 30, look, trying to get the 30,000 bucks. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of lines there needs a break, but it did get back in July, got to 31, 32, close to. There's a different support there, 25. Look at that, it's bounced off that several times.
It seems to be quite a lot of big buyers going through on Quantum Blockchain stuff.
Informer says, crypto is better than markets these days, looking like it is a use case, after all, to troll business investors. that is it. I was listening to actually Stephen Bartlett, you know, the guy from Dragon's Den. He had Social Chain. He's done very well for himself. And his audiobook, and he's in the Web3. He has put a lot of money into that. And he not crypto, but blockchain, the technology itself. Tom says, next month's inflation figures could be a catalyst for the market to rally. October 2022, month-on-month increase was 2%, and it will drop out. So it could drop to 5%. In fact, yeah, do you know what? I'll get a little, let me just get this chart of you here, because it's worth looking at. I know, yeah, there is, the comparisons will help, I suppose, because I'll find it in a bit. But
I think inflation is rapidly, disappearing as the issue of the day.
This is an interesting thing. Sure. Here, look, Oxford Biodynamics, which, of course, has done very well, very good tech in the cancer space.
Nice deal with Bupa this week, didn't they sign for one of their tests?
OBD, isn't it, I think. No, what is it?
Yeah, OBD.
Is it OBD? OBD. Oh, yeah, Oxford Biodynamics. So, look at that. Shot up there, of course. But what you got here, there's nothing wrong with this. Don't read this as a bad thing. There's a guy here who's Stephen Diggle, Mr. Diggle. Diggle got the wiggle. Hey,
hang on a minute. That's Volpes Life Sciences. I spoke about the other day. Yeah. They also back Proteome Sciences and Scancell.
So he sold 777,000 at 383. So he's just cashed in about 300 grand's worth there. But, sometimes you've got to take a bit off, maybe invest elsewhere, because he still holds 13.6.
He's got a fair chunk of this still.
So, and that's, literally, he's still got 27 million. So I wouldn't worry too much. He sells at that, but, if he's selling out completely, fine, fair enough. But he still has 27 million, and he's only sold 777,000. So it's not a big deal here. Anything else? Asset Coast followed, Silver Bullet, Destiny, Avacta, we looked at that, Card Factory. Do you know what's funny? Most of these rises today are no news.
No news, yeah. When I went and had a look at the trades to see what was happening.
Yeah.
It's just money. It's flow, money.
I looked at fallers. Do you know what? I got caught up in this trade on this company because they literally... At the time, the directors had no skin in the game. They kept raising money at massive discount. I think 83% at one point they raised money at. I do like the technology, but what made me laugh in their interims, right? I looked at their interims and they scrolled down, right? And they're saying different parts of the business, right? Filtration, addressable market, 350 million. Finish, estimated market, 132 million. Care, estimated market, 3 billion. Key financials, revenue, 100 grand. Okay, okay. When are you going to address those markets, eh?
It's but, been good. Yeah. It's just...
I do like what they do. I like their technology, but literally, this is a good example of execution of commercialization. The markets are big, but you realize when you have new tech, market adoption of that takes a while. It does take a while, you know? So, you know.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. This. I mean, this company's been around for a long time.
It has, yeah. And Neil Woodford was the backer of this. And that's when they really fell off a cliff, because when he went through, their sugar daddy basically was no longer there. And
well,
so they had to go to the markets to say, oh, can we have some money? And all of a sudden you saw the funding go down from like tens of millions to like a million, if that.
I mean, arguably, a company like Xeros, you know, the story always had a nice ring to it.
Yeah,
but it is. It goes back to you know. When you ask me what's the first thing I look for, it's like how do you make money? Who are the customers? What are you? What problem are you solving? Why would anyone buy your product? How much are you selling it for? You know, and then as you say, you know, as it's alluded to, how big is the market? How many potential customers are there? Yeah. That was always the technology is good, but does anyone want it?
I think they do because it's in water and efficiency, and I think they do. But
maybe it's becoming more.
Yeah, they went from using their own tech, basically, and trying to roll out their own model to now licensing it out, which is a capital-light model. Let do that. But, of course, what happens with that is the revenues are less. They are recurring, so sticky, but you have to just keep adding to the hopper all the time. But they are less because, of course, you're used on the tech. But
I don't know how this company has changed. I must admit, I haven't looked at it in detail, but it was waterless washing machines, or, you know, minimal water washing.
Yeah, it was.
Washing machines haven't changed in a very long time, really.
No, exactly. But they have signed some deals with some big players in India and all that stuff.
So they went commercial, didn't they? Commercial laundry was their potential answer to this, which also makes sense. But
it's
never happened.
Okay. Any other stuff you're looking at stocks wise? Let's look at this.
I did get asked a question. You know, going back to that exchange I had on Twitter. You know, I said I think there's definitely some companies looking very cheap on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had a thing, and I was asked, okay, which ones? So I thought I'd save them for today.
Okay, go on.
And I was having a look, and and I think Hargreaves looks cheap. You know, there are some poor sentiment is affecting that stock. JD Sports.
In fact, do you know what? I was chatting to actually Phil, who's a regular here, and like I said, it went down yesterday, Hargreaves. I kept saying, just because companies are cheap doesn't mean you should buy them unless you can take a paper loss and sit in it for a long time, because you've got to be prepared to do that.
Yeah.
But if you're not prepared to do that, use momentum as well. And momentum, I keep trying to explain this to people, it's money flow. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, when there's more demand for the stock than supply, then the share price will go up. At the moment, there's something happening there. Someone's selling. I don't know who it is, but you don't want to be in the way of that seller, because obviously they're bigger than you. They're deep pockets. And to take a stock down like that, they are a big seller. And so wait until net demand comes in, and you can see that that's reflecting the share price, and then go with that sort of the tide, basically. And yeah, so that's happened. But JD's the same. In fact, I marked up JD Sports yesterday. Look at this. This is an example, all right? These are an example of lower highs in the red, okay? And you say every time it tries a rally, it doesn't quite make the previous high. That means a seller's coming in and dumping. It rallies again, dumping. Do you want to get in the way of that, or do you want to wait until this happens? Now, if we go back in the chart to the uptrend, look at this. Look at that. A series of higher highs. Every time it makes a new high, a little bit of sell-off, but then it goes to a new high. And that's essentially... more demand for the shares and supply.
Yep.
Since that time has come down, and now we're back at this level. So wait, it'll pass them out. The seller will exhaust. I know the sellers will exhaust, and all of a sudden it'll get back to net demand, and it'll start rising again.
Yeah. What else have we got? Mike Sanderson that we looked at the other day. What a lovely company. You know, eight times forecast PE. I mean, we're going to be shoes out. I mean, this is an absolute cracking company. Yeah. 8.8 times forecast PE.
Yeah. But again, look at that. Again, this side, a series of higher highs, and all of a sudden, look at this. This next high is lower than that one and lower than the previous one, and it really falls off a cliff. And you can see there, and now we're at this level, and it may have to go in a range for a while. This is essentially, a range is a good thing, because what it's saying is, the bull and bears are fighting, and no one's actually winning out unless it breaks down or breaks up. Then if it breaks down, the sellers are winning. If it breaks up, the buyers are winning. And that just shows there's net demand on the stock. You can't get better than that ticker. It does what it says in the tin. And like I said, again, look at that. Trend up. Higher low. The buyers are winning there, hands down. And all of a sudden, we come to the top here. It hit this top a couple of times. It's never actually made it above that first high at 262. Yeah. And it's literally going down here. And so you may have to go into a range for a while where buyers and sellers trade punches. And you wait till the winner comes out.
The whole asset management sector.
Yeah, literally betting on the winner when you know who the winner is. When it goes to new high, that's who you know the winner is. It's the buyers. But don't bet before the fight is ended.
What else did I look of? Belvoir, I like the look of. So the whole asset management sector, Rathbones, Impax, yes. Polar Capital, H&T, cheapest chips, one of mine that I've already got. It's just there's so much choice. Finance, it's got my list. Yeah. I quite like the look of that.
Well, there we are. So, look at that. High. Let's come down. Look, second high didn't quite make it. So you want then. It's okay if it doesn't do it once, but if it doesn't do it a second time, you get, there's weakness there. So like I said, that's good though. This bounce off here, look, it's gone back up to that range. So someone's obviously bargain hunter thinking, this is a cheap stock, H&T, I'm buying it down here, and it's gone back into the range. But maybe it made it stay in the range.
Look at this, Journeo, which we've talked about a lot. The shares have almost doubled this year. It's still trading just 11 times forecast earnings.
Yeah, is this, they did a change of broker, didn't they, today?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah, they did. Got some news.
I don't think they had... sometimes people say they need to raise money if they do that. It's not always the case. Like I said, sometimes it's just better coverage, all that stuff, and better notes and all that stuff.
I could go on. The whole investment is almost the entirety of the investment trust sector you can buy on a massive discount.
Absolutely. And I've seen loads of those. I've got quite a few of those on my watch list, from Jupiter Asset Management, all those kind of guys from, what's the other one? Is it Jim? Yeah, what's that? Jarvis? Well, he's still around.
As a broker.
But all these kind of things just plays in the markets. Like I said, it's really hard to find uptrends, but if you find one that's a good business, you can invest in it because it's a market of stocks. There are companies going against trend. Absolutely, companies going against. In fact, I'll show you one of mine now, which is just about a break it down trend, I think, which is... what is it called? In fact, Silver Bullet has it shot up, but I mean, but look at this. See, zero high lows, okay, has a almost sort of support there, good, it breaks down, but now you've got a higher low there, and you can see this previous support is being broken, okay, even the downtrend that it's being broken there. It's broken this previous support. That there is not quite an uptrend yet, but you can safely say that downtrend has probably ended. So it's worth just waiting.
Well, basically, I think, you know what they say, when the last bull capitulates, that's what I'm waiting for. Go on, Justin.
The thing is, I'm bearish on the index. I'm bearish on the index, but there's always opportunities out there. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be holding stocks. Okay, I missed time to few of them, but I wouldn't be holding stocks. And I've made money in the last 6 months. It was worse going beyond that. So a year back, maybe, it's really bad. But I was just in stocks. I wasn't paying too much attention to the trend. But when I realized we're in a proper bear market now, I sort of got out a bit and then said, okay, take your time, wait. And that's what you got to do now. And you've got to be very choosy.
Can I tell you, Gov, was another one I was having a look at.
Yeah.
Big jump, but they're still, you're talking, they're not cheap, but they're cheaper than they were. So then, the other strategy is, buy quality when it's been derated.
Yeah.
And then that brings all sorts of stuff into play.
Yeah. I mean, another one I looked at, which is mid cap, is Team 17. Good games coming. Games have been decimated. Been laying off your. Look at that. Literally, it's come from 880 down to 255. It's very good. No debt. Still groaning a little bit. I mean, the margin took a little bit of squeeze, but it's a good company. It's a very good company. And there's so many good companies out there. But like I said, don't pull the trigger yet. I wouldn't pull the trigger on that yet. Look at that. I mean, is it arranged then? Oh, I'll get in there now. And literally, you see the previous support there. Didn't quite make it, broke down again. So that can happen all the time. It can keep breaking down, getting cheaper and cheaper, to the point where people are saying, this is ridiculous now. I'm going to start buying. And when the market turns like that, you know, buying, it'll start rallying.
Here's the thing. Like Spirex Arco, which, very large FTSE 100 engineer, does sort of pumps and valves and stuff. It's trading on a forecast period now of 24.8. But 2 years ago, it got to a high of a forecast PE of 67.
Yeah.
So you are, these are quality, somewhat cyclical, but not massively, global businesses that you can have pick up a lot cheaper than you ever, you could a couple of years ago. So there's the other strategy. You know, don't look at just the headline PE because it might still seem high, but look at it where it has been relative.
Exactly. Some companies, we lump some companies in, well, that should be on a PE to that. But if they're an outperformer, they shouldn't. There are certain companies deserve to be given a higher PE.
I'm looking forward to shopping. Sorry. The time will come.
Yeah, it will. What's your thoughts on options awarded to management of Destiny Pharma? I can't see the strike price. Are the salaries not enough? Listen, I don't really care. If they perform, they deserve them. Honestly, it doesn't cost anything now. So it's almost like saying, in a down market, it's very tough. But if that company hits like equity development come out with 279, if they do that, hit those things, give them the awards. And already, I quite like what Chris Tobey's doing. You know, he's getting to experts together, publishing, presenting, peer-reviewed papers showing how good XF73 is. So I quite like that. He's doing two-hour presentations. I quite like what he's doing.
I think when it comes to pay, what you have to make sure is that it's not managers extracting, money from companies, but that actually is an aligned incentive. That would encourage management to make sure that they deliver for the benefit of shareholders.
No, he's been very proactive. I like what he's doing. I like the guy. I think he's working very hard and very well for the company. And to me, he's worth everything if he achieves those target prices. And I think he will. He's not a free rider. He's a guy who does something. And I think he was a heck of a sign up for Destiny Pharma. If you look what he's done previously, you can't underestimate a very good board. They got the product. You've got everything there. The products are amazing. They are tackling huge problems in the world, and the board is a quality board, which don't normally bother with companies that size. And so it says something, doesn't it? Well, in fact, Chris says why he's there.
Bit of breaking news.
Go on.
Breaking news. Harder than a wolf. So some good news this morning. Some slightly less palatable news this afternoon. There was they won a judicial review of the Isle of Magee gas storage project. A while back, where it's been there's an appeal going in. So. Not entirely surprising. You generally see these legal things toing and froing, but sort of take the shine off of the news this morning a little bit.
Okay. What? So has there been an appeal?
The applicant has filed for an appeal.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Do you know what? They've already given their judgment. It's like the judicial review must think, we've given our judgment. Why are you appealing? I know you have a right to appeal. Unless there's new evidence, what are they going to appeal on?
This is exactly what happened the other day with PCI Power, if you remember. They won a court case, and then the appeal came in and the shares came off a little bit again. So it's,
we'd like to appeal. What we're going to present same evidence, but we just made it. Unless they get new evidence, there's no point, is there? What a waste of time. Good to see Chris Tobey highly incentivized. That's what Alan says, with strong option package to achieve great returns for himself. And if they do well and they get a good deal and that share price goes up, they deserve to be rewarded. Bill, a book recommendation of the day for new people trying to learn fundamentals, Interpretation of Financial Statements, Mary Buffett and David Clark. It's a little book and very simple. Good energy. Looks a bit like coming the new you. In fact, you group. I do believe that. I mean, one of the reasons why I invest in Good Energy, I just thought it could become a new you group. And in fact, with better margins, because they got a huge top line. But just quickly on the old, what is it by? On the old, I don't believe this. I know there's warm weather. Warm weather in September hits autumn coat sales, right? Retail sales more than expected. Yeah. Do you know what? The experts were wrong. To the tune of 90% wrong, or 100%, 10 times worse than forecast.
It was a very strange. It was a very strange month, weather-wise. I mean, you know, retail is weather-dependent, and it was very strange.
But can I ask you a question? Are retail sales based on online sales as well, or what? Or
is it just high speed?
So hang on, that doesn't affect people set by a... How can you be wrong? They thought it came in at sort of minus 0.1%, and it came in at minus 1%. How can it be that far out?
They've got a shop full of jumpers and the sun's shining. It's basically what happens. It's what happens.
But autumn coats didn't do very well, apparently. Mm. Got all these coats in. They'll say, well, let's see if they bounces back. That'll be the test. I think this is a lot more down to people feeling the cost of living crisis now.
You know, exactly.
Like I said, you know, that central banker from the Bank of England said only 20% of this is being felt because people are coming off mortgages all the time and they have to remortgage and they've got maybe credit card debt. They're maybe not going to buy new cars, or they're buying new cars and the cost of finance and all that is expensive. Everything's expensive now. So it's going to be hitting people. And I think, you know,
the medicine is working. Central bank medicine is working.
Exactly. You know, I think. Banks call for more clarity on investment path net zero. Yeah, they're saying that they need to see what, you know, how much money is going in, how much we need, essentially, to invest in new energy. China curbs graphite. And Elon Musk, I don't think he'll have anyone left on Twitter in a bit, because he's now going to charge two tiers of charging. He's going to charge new users $1 in New Zealand. That's not too bad, I suppose, $1, if that's what it is. Would you pay £1, John?
No.
Not even a pound.
No. I'm looking for an excuse to get off that godforsaken platform. So,
£1
will be the all I need to tip me over the edge. It's full of rubbish.
Isn't it worth £1, though? Just don't you get any ideas? I mean, there are some good people, I mean, you know, institutional or news outlets or business people posting stuff on there. It's a good resource, isn't it?
I mean, all the trash. I need to get off my doom scrolling. That's what you end up doing. And you think, I'm doing it because I found some interesting news. But most of the news is rubbish and most of it isn't real anyway. And I've got, shelves full of books, which I just spend my time reading instead. Try it, Musk.
Yeah, but isn't that a bit like, isn't that a bit like researching for companies on AIM? You've got to siphon the troll through, through the rubbish until you find something. I mean, the stuff on Twitter.
Well, that's true, but then I could spend my time doing that. I spend my time looking at numbers on SharePad, which is much more interesting than most of what's on Twitter.
That is a point, actually. I'm writing, I don't think, the investments are guides, and at the moment, and it's so easy to get distracted by, looking at Twitter, and you think, what am I? I end up looking at a dog video, which is quite cute or something. What am I doing? I was trying to do some work, and I saw this one a day where it's a bloke, literally. All you see is a guy shoving a bit of ham on a bit of bread, chucking another bit of bread on top and chucking it to his right. And his black Labrador is by the door and just in his mouth and just eats it. Cracking.
We're doomed.
Final chart there. FTSE 250 is not... FTSE 100 is okay. FTSE 250 from the high looks still down 30%. So that's, it's not only AIM suffering. AIM's down 48%. Fair enough, it's 20% worse. But you expect that. But even the FTSE 250... still down 30%,
Yeah. No, it's horrendous. It's defensives and, the ones that are holding up.
Yeah.
4100 is full of them.
Yeah, all I'd say is, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got cash, take your time. Don't press that trigger button because it could get cheaper in 3 months' time. It could get cheaper in a month's time, So, don't go crazy and go. Have patience. There's plenty of time and things get cheaper and the upside can get greater, basically. But there will be opportunities. Many times we look back on this time, we'll be looking back on this in a year's time thinking, do you remember that? Then we were talking about that going down that far. Oh, I wish I'd done something then or bought a little bit then. That's always like the market. I should have bought more at the bottom. Marvellous. Have a nice weekend. Don't forget, download the app if you could. VoxMarkets.com.uk/app. You find it, search for it. And like, share and subscribe. Have a nice weekend, everyone. Speak next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.